This is Jordan Secchio. The House of Representatives rebukes the UN and the Obama administration on its anti-Israel resolution.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
My colleagues, I'd like to read you a quote. Quote, peace is hard work. Peace will not come through statements and resolutions at the United Nations. If it were that easy, it would have been accomplished by now. Ultimately, it is the Israelis and the Palestinians who must live side by side. Close quote. That was President Obama in 2011, and he was right. I am stunned. I am stunned at what happened last month. This government, our government, abandoned our ally Israel when she needed us the most.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110.
It is time to repair the damage done by this misguided hit job at the UN. It's time to rebuild our partnership with Israel and reaffirm our commitment to her security. And it's time to show all of our allies that regardless of the shameful events of last week, the United States remains a force for good.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. If you want to talk to us on the air, that's 1-800-684-3110. You heard that correctly. The House of Representatives has rebuked very strongly the UN's action, including the United States Obama administration action at the United Nations in regard to Israel and that Security Council resolution you heard in the opening of the broadcast. Very strong language in a fired up Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan. The actual vote was 342 to 80. So there were 80 members of Congress and the House of Representatives that voted against this resolution condemning what happened at the UN to Israel. But to point out, one of those important votes is a leading candidate for DNC chair. Keith Ellison, the first Muslim elected to Congress, voted against condemning the UN, specifically on its Israel policy. He is someone who has called Israel's policy a form of apartheid. Will he be the choice for DNC chair? We'll find out next month. But let me go to Than Bennett in Washington, D.C., our government affairs director. Than, this was a very clear message from the House of Representatives, and as people heard, Paul Ryan, in a way that he's not usually his tone, very fired up in defense of Israel and about how bad this resolution was at the Security Council.
Very forceful, Jordan. Great leadership from Speaker of the House Paul Ryan on this important measure. And like you pointed out, overwhelming bipartisan support, only 80 votes against, 342 in favor. And Jordan, actually, a good number of those 80 actually just wanted the language to be stronger. They didn't like some of the two-state solution language in there. But here's the overwhelming takeaway, and I want to make no mistake about this. This was the House of Representatives saying in a bipartisan way, we disagree with President Obama's condemnation of Israel. We disagree with the UN resolution. And oh, by the way, when the new president takes office, we are going to stand with him and we are going to stand with Israel. Republicans and Democrats took the floor of the House and did that. And Jordan, I expect something very, very similar as soon as next week in the United States Senate.
Yeah, there's a lot of bipartisan support for this, which is important for the Trump team as they transition in to try and counteract this, that they need Congress united on this specific issue in support of Israel. And it's one where you get a bipartisan support. So we'll see what happens in the U.S. Senate as well. Again, I wanted to play some more sound from Speaker of the House Paul Ryan about what happened last month at the UN by the Obama administration. Remember, it's the U.S. government who can take the blame for what happened to Israel. The Obama administration made the decision not to stand in the way by two.
I am stunned. I am stunned at what happened last month. This government, our government, abandoned our ally Israel when she needed us the most.
Folks, we're going to continue to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. We're also broadcasting on Facebook and Periscope. If you'd like to comment that way, we'll get to your comments and questions as well. We've got some phone lines open for you at 1-800-684-3110. For those of you watching on Facebook, click that share button now. Encourage people, your friends and family who follow you on Facebook to come into the discussion as well. Click share on your Facebook account and go to aclj.org. A lot of information up about all of these issues. We get back news about the DNC and the FBI and that investigation to hacking. You won't believe this. We'll tell you about it when we come back.
Thank you. This is a very critical time for the state of Israel. In a parting shot, President Obama betrayed Israel by using the UN Security Council in a blatant attempt to abandon Israel, slash its borders, leave it defenseless, and force our greatest ally in the Middle East to make dangerous concessions to terrorists before negotiations even begin. Palestinian terrorists have launched over 300 attacks on Israelis. We must not force Israel into talks with terrorists. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're mobilizing our office in Jerusalem. We're preparing critical legal letters, documents, and filings at the UN, in Congress, and with the Obama administration. Sign on right now to our petition to defend Israel and stop forced negotiations with terrorists. Add your name right now. You can call 1-877-989-2255 or online aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. First, the House of Representatives, if you're just joining us, has rebuked the United Nations and the Obama administration in a bipartisan vote. That was 342 to 80 in the House of Representatives. And this was a scathing rebuke of the UN Security Council resolution, the anti-Israel resolution that passed a couple of weeks ago because of the U.S. government's decision not to act, to abstain from the vote. This was a bipartisan support. It's now moving through the United States Senate with the potential of getting a unanimous consent there from both Republicans and Democrats. And as we know, that's going to be pretty rare the next 4 years of the Trump administration to get unanimous consent on anything. But what it shows you, I think, is a disconnect between the Obama left on Israel and the elected officials, even the very liberal elected officials in the United States Senate, people like Chuck Schumer, and in the House of Representatives, where the vast majority of both sides, Republican and Democrat, stand with Israel here in the United States. That's an important message to send to the world. It's an important message to send to the state of Israel as well. But I told you about some very interesting news involving that Russian supposed hacking of our election process, not the actual votes, but influencing and going after the DNC servers specifically. Well, we reported yesterday, and this was pretty shocking, during that hearing with the Director of National Intelligence, Clapper, at the U.S. Senate, we reported to you that the FBI nor any other government agencies had actually analyzed the supposedly hacked servers from the DNC. Well, now it becomes clear why. The FBI asked the DNC if they could analyze the servers, and the Democrat Party said no. So we are supposed to believe from the Democrats and the Obama administration and now the intelligence community that the Russians did this, the Russian government, not just an individual in Russia, but the Russian government was responsible directly for this hack, and yet they would not let the government analyze the hacked servers. To me, this is outrageous, and it just underscores why people have little faith in whatever these reports are about Russians. You know, they were happy about Donald Trump. That's one of the reports that was intercepted. I mean, that doesn't mean that they hacked the DNC either. But we are now getting this report that the Democrats refused. The Democrat Party refused to let the FBI analyze what they considered to be a hacked server. So the government has, and our intelligence community has, no idea about what actually happened to that Democrat server.
Well, both sides look so bad here, Jordan. I mean, first of all, on the intelligence community side, if you are going to do an investigation of this magnitude and come to the conclusion that a foreign government, and then say that the foreign government actually influenced a U.S. election, you sure better take into possession the evidence that you are then going to cite as proof of what your claim is. But then, Jordan, I think maybe almost worse, on the side of the DNC, I think we all know why they wouldn't want to turn over that hardware to the intelligence community. And it was because of the leaks that we then discovered several weeks later that the DNC and others inside the Democrat Party were actively working to undermine the primary candidacy of Bernie Sanders. That is information that they would not have wanted to be released either before or after the election. So even though Director Clapper testified that he had most of this information back in October before the election, that is a clear reason why they wouldn't want to turn over that hardware, because they were ashamed of what was going on.
Yeah, Robert on Facebook asked the question directly, why wouldn't they let the FBI see the servers at the DNC, at the Democrat Party? And this is what we're hearing. The FBI repeatedly stressed to the DNC officials the necessity of obtaining direct access to servers and data, only to be rebuffed until after the initial compromise had been mitigated. This left the FBI no choice but to rely upon a third party for information. These actions caused significant delays and inhibited the FBI from addressing the intrusion earlier. This coming from a senior law enforcement official at the FBI. Understand, folks, again, we're supposed to get a report. Donald Trump's being briefed on this today by including officials like FBI Director Jim Comey, that we're supposed to get a report on Monday about the Russian, you know, they're going to tie it directly to the Russian government, not just individuals. We've sent away 35 Russian ambassadors and their families who are here in the U.S. We didn't do this, by the way, to the Chinese when they compromised the records of almost every government official. I remember that, Than. I mean, you had a huge hack that was responsible by all indications were the Chinese government of all of the officials that work for the federal government into that database, and there were no actions taken against China.
Exactly right, Jordan. And in both of those situations, I would again draw people's attention back to the FBI and the CIA and the rest of the intelligence community, whether it's China or Russia attacking the DNC. Why are they requesting this kind of information? I mean, yes, sure, the request could come first, but if the DNC or anyone else refuses access to that information, if the security threat is that severe, you know what should happen? The FBI and the CIA should obtain the authority to then take that hardware and find the information necessary to protect the United States. So as bad as this looks on the DNC in both of those situations, the intelligence community looks bad too. And by the way, I think that briefing with the president-elect, I don't think that's going to be a very comfortable one for them.
Now, I mean, Patricia on Facebook writes, if there were an investigation into a foreign nation influencing the election, why did the FBI even have to ask? Here is what I believe is the case. This wasn't an actual investigation. They didn't actually open up an official. So they didn't subpoena the hardware, the hard drives, the server that they believe to be hacked. This is a post-election attempt to discredit Donald Trump, and the Obama administration is using the intelligence community to do that. Do I believe that foreign governments try to hack many different levels of our government and our political processes? Yes. Are the Russians always good actors? Absolutely not. Could they be guilty here? Sure. But the FBI has not conducted a thorough investigation if they have not analyzed the servers themselves. So anything that is reported on Monday and anything, as Than said, that Donald Trump is hearing from this administration should be taken with a grain of salt. They're getting it from a third party. That's the Obama administration trying to use a political matter to discredit the incoming president of the United States. And Than, I would imagine that part of this is because we're already seeing the moves beginning. The wheels are turning to repeal Obamacare so that is something that, again, I've said over and over, is maybe not even an asterisk in U.S. history.
Yeah, well, first of all, Jordan, how long have we said that this is a faux investigation? And I think you're right. If it was a real investigation, the FBI and the CIA would have done what they had to do to get that information in their hands. And oh, by the way, if the outcome of the election had gone the other way, if Hillary Clinton had won, I don't think this would be an issue right now. And I think everybody pretty much on both sides agrees with that. On the Obamacare piece, yes, I think that legacy with President Obama is as good as done. The repeal process is underway. There's 50 hours of debate that is required in the Senate before the first vote to set up the reconciliation repeal can happen. That got underway yesterday. The first main vote will happen in the middle of next week. And Jordan, you know, 2 weeks from now, essentially Obamacare is going to be on its way out the door. There will be a transition period so people's plans aren't pulled out from under them. But that part of his legacy, the main part of his domestic legacy, it's as good as gone, Jordan.
Let's go to the phones, 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. And if you're watching on Facebook, click that share button. Bring your friends and family into this important discussion today. Click share if you're watching on Facebook. Let's go to Richard in California on line three. Richard, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Hey, we're good.
Hey, you know, this whole deal, Obama seems to be such a selfish man, you know, very calculating, that the only thing, he's throwing Israel under the bus because his legacy is more important than Israel, which is, he just doesn't get it. He does not get the stance as the United States. We've been a blessed nation to protect those people, stand up for those people. That's why we're a powerhouse. Financially, we're a powerhouse. Our enemies have earthquakes, and we send our aid to our declared enemies to help out.
Yeah.
And then you have these people in the House and the Congress that are jumping on board to sign out their rebukes against him. And I'm not so sure that they're genuine, because the bottom line is Obama does to get what he wants to get. He's gotten what he wants, or he's trying to derail President Trump.
He's trying to delegitimize President-elect Trump from the get-go, and trying to make it very difficult for him on the foreign policy level. So you've got these moves at the United Nations, a potential warning. A second move is in the works, potentially before January 20th, before the inauguration. You also have the situation in Syria, where the Russians and the Turkish government have brokered a peace deal and left the U.S. out of those discussions. They've said they will bring the Trump administration into those discussions, but they will be coming in again without all the info, not really making the early decisions. That's because the Obama administration has failed on that foreign policy front. And then domestically, I mean, it's regulation after regulation. And you're seeing now that the House of Representatives, the Republicans there, including Speaker Ryan, have committed to not only repealing Obamacare, but making part of the repeal of Obamacare. And we'll talk about this when we come back from the break, that part of the repeal of Obamacare will also be the defunding of Planned Parenthood. That will be even a tougher battle, understand that, folks, to include that language than repealing Obamacare once and for all, but actually defunding Planned Parenthood as part of that repeal of Obamacare. We come back, we'll take more of your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. That's 1-800-684-3110. And if you're watching on Facebook, click that share button. Get your comments and questions in that way. And as always, go to ACLJ.org. Stay updated on all of these issues. ACLJ.org. We'll be right back.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a very critical time for the state of Israel. In a parting shot, President Obama betrayed Israel by using the UN Security Council in a blatant attempt to abandon Israel, slash its borders, leave it defenseless, and force our greatest ally in the Middle East to make dangerous concessions to terrorists before negotiations even begin. Palestinian terrorists have launched over 300 attacks on Israelis. We must not force Israel into talks with terrorists. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're mobilizing our office in Jerusalem. We're preparing critical legal letters, documents, and filings at the UN, in Congress, and with the Obama administration. Sign on right now to our petition to defend Israel and stop forced negotiations with terrorists. Add your name right now. You can call 1-877-989-2255 or online aclj.org.
So, folks, a lot of calls, questions have been coming in about this report that the Democrat Party, the DNC, refused the request from the FBI to analyze the server that they claimed was hacked by Russia. Remember, there is a lot of discussion that these could be leaked emails, not hacked, but leaked emails from the inside because of the way the DNC was favoring Hillary Clinton over Bernie Sanders. And there were certainly people at the DNC that could have liked Bernie Sanders more, seen an opportunity to damage the Clinton campaign, and leaked the emails. I mean, these are big operations. There were people there that could have done that. And yet they claim, no, our server was hacked, and it was hacked by the government of Russia. Who should you trust? Did the FBI analyze this? The CIA? No. It was a third party, some company that analyzed it. And when the FBI asked the DNC, hey, can we take a look at these servers? You know what the DNC said? No. And yet we're going to believe a report that comes out next week on Monday, supposedly, it keeps getting pushed back, that I'm sure will indicate that the Russian government meddled in our election process and that that could have been the cause for Donald Trump's victory. I mean, that is what they're trying to get to. And it's to damage Donald Trump. It's not going to take his victory away. It doesn't mean he will be inaugurated on January 20th, but it is trying to discredit his victory and his presidency before it even begins. And they're doing everything possible to make it a difficult start as well for him when it comes to foreign policy decisions, actions at the UN. We could go on and on and on. Now, there's also a move to defund Planned Parenthood. The repeal of Obamacare is beginning, and a move to defund Planned Parenthood as part of that. Let's go take a listen to Speaker of the House Paul Ryan. He was asked about this yesterday, Bite 17.
Speaker Ryan, can you tell me how and when you're going to pass legislation to defund Planned Parenthood?
Well, Planned Parenthood legislation would be in our reconciliation bill.
So again, Than, just to explain that to people, that means that this will be part of the overall effort in the repeal of Obamacare will be included and likely would make it through the House of Representatives. It is a tougher battle. We're getting a question from Jennifer on Facebook. She asked, should we start calling our senators to vote yes on defunding Planned Parenthood? People obviously are fired up about this like they are fired up about repealing Obamacare.
Yeah, I would say the answer to Jennifer is yes, you should call your senators. You should also sign our petition that asks for this. I want to give people a brief history. We told our Facebook and Periscope viewers about this during the break. But remember, this is why we asked the House and Senate to include the Planned Parenthood defund language in the reconciliation bill that was sent to President Obama last year, even though we knew he was going to veto it. Because, Jordan, what it does is it puts us in a very strong position to insist to both Republicans and Democrats that that defund language be in this year's reconciliation bill, that when it gets to the new president's desk, he will sign and it will get enacted. So this is why, Jordan, sometimes you have to take the long view and fight legislative battles, even though you know you might lose them in the short term, because you can win them the next time around. Now, you're right. There are some Senate Republicans that don't love this language. They are going to have to be called on to vote like they did last year to both repeal Obamacare and defund Planned Parenthood. It'll be in a single vote. It'll be in that reconciliation package.
Yep, let's go right to the phones. We're talking Israel. We're talking, obviously, this new information about the DNC refusing to let the FBI analyze their servers that they claim were hacked by the Russian government. Sherry is calling in from Montana Online 4. Sherry, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hello, and thank you. I was just wondering, could you please tell me, if the Senate voted like the House, could that stop the UN resolution?
No, it cannot stop what happened at the Security Council. It's why what the Obama administration did is so indefensible and has really left a vulnerability. The House obviously can, and the Senate can stand with the next president of the United States in his attempts, Donald Trump's and his team's attempts to fix what happened at the UN Security Council, but only the Security Council could come back and remove this resolution or change the resolution itself. You can't go back and we can't unilaterally, as the U.S. government, we gave up the opportunity to veto this. You can't re-veto it later on. So this was strategically done to hamper the incoming Trump administration. They can, of course. And Than, this will be the key. Will the members of Congress who supported this resolution also support? I mean, this is a question we can't answer yet across party lines. I think Republicans we could answer probably yes from, but Democrats we're not sure. Will we get bipartisan support when Donald Trump decides to threaten UN funding over the resolution itself, which is really probably the only way you get this back on the table?
I think you're exactly right, Jordan. You hit the nail on the head. I would say not only just funding, but whatever strategy the next president chooses. I mean, Donald Trump, with his Article II powers, is going to have a lot of options at his disposal. The funding is certainly maybe the biggest one. But, you know, another thing he could do, Jordan, he could threaten to veto everything that comes out of the Security Council, including, you know, the deployment of UN peacekeepers, anything like that. Essentially, Jordan, the United States can ground the UN to a halt. So let's say Donald Trump chooses that tactic to try to get this resolution repealed. The question will be, will Republicans and Democrats in the House and Senate stand behind him if it involves pulling funds from those various efforts? And the resolution that the House passed yesterday and hopefully the Senate will pass next week would be a good leading indicator that he might have bipartisan support for that. So even though these resolutions are technically non-binding, it is a very good first signal on whether or not they will stand behind the next president when he chooses his tactic on this.
Yeah, and we've got a lot of topics here going, of course, to this DNC issue. We've got the Israel issue. We've got Obamacare. We're taking calls about all of it on this Friday. Ike calling in from Maryland on line 5. Ike, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
God bless you guys, your crew, and all that you do. Quick comment. With regard to the FBI requesting the information from the DNC servers, when did the FBI start taking no for an answer?
Well, I think when the FBI is conducting phony investigations, faux investigations, if you will, fake investigations. They want to look like they were trying to conduct an investigation. Now they're trying to cover themselves because the report came out yesterday that no government agency, including the FBI, ever looked at, so no law enforcement agencies ever actually looked at the server that was supposedly hacked by the Russian government. That's a huge claim to make. And they never analyzed it. Now they're saying the Democrats told us we couldn't. The DNC told us we couldn't have access to the service. They're trying to cover themselves that way, which means they didn't really have subpoenas. They weren't really conducting a full investigation. Than, once again from the FBI, once again from the intelligence community, you have a faux, false, phony investigation. I mean, it has all those indications yet again.
Look, Jordan, the claims they made are—they're huge.
Yeah,
hugely significant. The U.S. election was undermined. Vladimir Putin was involved. We gave him incredible legitimacy around the world and actually boosted his posture and his authority in the world. Those are claims you don't make if you don't have evidence. And the reason they didn't have evidence is because they weren't doing a real investigation. They did not have subpoenas for this hardware, and they did not insist on getting them. Jordan, I would just say this. I mean, I think they should have had the hardware. But if they didn't, don't make these claims. They are too huge. They undermine the United States too significantly to do so without the evidence.
All right, folks, remember, we've got a second half hour coming up on Jay Sekulow Live. If your local station doesn't carry the second half hour of the broadcast, here's how you can get it. We're on Sirius XM, channel 131. You can tune in now. We're also broadcasting live on Facebook, Periscope, and ACLJ.org, where we take people's comments and questions that way as well, so you can be part of the broadcast. You can also talk to us on the air, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We come back in our second half hour. We're going to continue to talk about, obviously, the server issue and people's phone calls about that. Obamacare, the repeal is beginning. What will a replacement look like? What will the timeline look like? There's a back and forth between conservatives about that. And, of course, the issue involving Israel with this House resolution, wide bipartisan support. We'll talk about all of it when we come back on Jay Sekulow Live. Go to ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org to stay updated on all of these issues.
This is a very critical time for the state of Israel. In a parting shot, President Obama betrayed Israel by using the UN Security Council in a blatant attempt to abandon Israel. Sign on right now to our petition to defend Israel and stop forced negotiations with terrorists. Add your name right now. You can call 1-877-989-2255 or online aclj.org.
Oh, the second half hour, Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110 on Fridays. Even the second half hour, we try to get into the discussion. We broaden it out. For those of you who are holding on the phones, we are going to get to your calls. There's a few issues I just want to touch if you're just joining us right off the top of the show. First, the House of Representatives has passed a resolution, very strong. The vote was 342 to 80. So, again, bipartisan in this support, a resolution that was really a rebuke of what happened at the UN involving that and the Security Council involving that anti-Israel resolution. The vote was 342 to 80. Take a listen to Paul Ryan. He was fired up about this vote. Bite one and two. Let's play them both.
My colleagues, I'd like to read you a quote. Quote, peace is hard work. Peace will not come through statements and resolutions at the United Nations. If it were that easy, it would have been accomplished by now. Ultimately, it is the Israelis and the Palestinians who must live side by side, close quote. That was President Obama in 2011, and he was right. I am stunned. I am stunned at what happened last month. This government, our government, abandoned our ally Israel when she needed us the most.
We absolutely agree. And you see that Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan, not his usual tone. You see how fired up he is. And that's good because Congress is going to need to work with the next administration, support those efforts, some which will call people will call it extreme when they potentially threaten funding to the UN directly, to countries directly, to agencies of the UN directly over this issue. They're going to need that congressional support and more than just a resolution. So I'm glad that the speaker is fired up and that you see this bipartisan support on this issue. It's one that certainly should cross party lines when you come to the support of Israel. We've also got news, of course, on specifically when it comes to this investigation. You know, Donald Trump is being briefed today by the intelligence officials that are still with the Obama administration, including, by the way, Jim Comey from the FBI, on the report involving the alleged hacking of our election processes and influence by the Russian government. That's the U.S. government, the Obama administration's position. He's getting that information. Maybe they've got info they have not shared yet that changes his mind. We don't know. But here we now have a report. Remember yesterday we said it was shocking that there was a report out that the FBI and any other law enforcement agencies in the U.S. never asked and never reviewed the DNC servers that were supposedly hacked by the Russian government. And now we find out from the FBI that they actually did ask, and the DNC would not let them review and analyze those servers that we are supposed to believe were hacked by a foreign government. So we're going to take your phone calls about that as well at 1-800-684-3110. Remember how much they're putting into this. They are claiming that the election itself was influenced by Putin and the Russian government, and yet they would not let our government do a full analysis of the systems that they say were hacked by that foreign government, Russia. I mean, we deported their officials. We sent their officials away back to Russia. And again, we have seen another phony, probably faux investigation from our law enforcement and intelligence communities. We'll take all phone calls about this, the United Nations, Israel, Obamacare, the defunding of Planned Parenthood, which House Republican leaders in the House and Senate have pledged to be part of the repeal of Obamacare. That's already in the works, folks. So we want to take your phone calls about that at 1-800-684-3110. If you're on Facebook or Periscope, click share. Bring your friends and family. Let them know about our discussion as well. Bring them into the discussion. So click share right now if you're watching on Facebook or Periscope. A great way. And if you are listening through the radio broadcast, give us a call at 1-800-684-3110. Talking about a pretty broad variety of topics today. We got this breaking news about the FBI not being allowed to access the supposedly hacked servers at the DNC by the Russian government. That's what the Obama administration is alleging. A lot of this to undermine the incoming administration as well. Don't forget that for a moment. We come back again. We're going to take a lot of your phone calls, get to all of these issues, get more analysis from Washington, D.C. as well. Go to ACLJ.org. Stay updated on all of these issues. We'll be right back.
This is a very critical time for the state of Israel. In a parting shot, President Obama betrayed Israel by using the UN Security Council in a blatant attempt to abandon Israel, slash its borders, leave it defenseless, and force our greatest ally in the Middle East to make dangerous concessions to terrorists before negotiations even begin. Palestinian terrorists have launched over 300 attacks on Israelis. We must not force Israel into talks with terrorists. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're mobilizing our office in Jerusalem. We're preparing critical legal letters, documents, and filings at the UN, in Congress, and with the Obama administration. Sign on right now to our petition to defend Israel and stop forced negotiations with terrorists. Add your name right now. You can call 1-877-989-2255 or online aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We're taking phone calls, questions, and comments today on the broadcast, especially in the second half hour. We're talking about a number of issues, obviously Israel and the vote at the House of Representatives to rebuke what happened at the United Nations. It was bipartisan, and now that will move to the United States Senate. There is a chance that that is actually a vote that is unanimous, so you get Republicans and Democrats together rebuking what the UN did, which also includes what the U.S. government did by abstaining and allowing that anti-Israel resolution to move forward. So that is great news. On the Obamacare front, we've got some great news when it comes to the repeal of Obamacare, which is starting. And obviously, there's a lot of discussion, and the Democrats, I think, again, are trying to make Republicans nervous and conservatives nervous and saying, you better be scared. You should be scared because you don't have anything to replace this with. And that's really not true. There have been a lot of plans put forward. There will be obviously an ultimate final plan to be put forward to replace Obamacare. But this idea, remember, we were operating without Obamacare before. There were changes that needed to be made to our insurance system, our healthcare system in the United States. Absolutely. And yet we could have made those changes without fully implementing something like Obamacare. I think we don't have to worry about the replacement. The big question now is how long will they allow Obamacare to stay in place in those plans? Some say, you know, it's a couple of years so that people will have time to, if they want to shift. But there won't be probably the individual mandate forcing you to do that. I think that, listen, this is a time to be creative, and we've got great people coming into the administration, like Congressman Tom Price, who will be the HHS secretary, who is a doctor, to lead the way on, and he's written plans that would replace Obamacare. He's put those out publicly. So this idea that there's no replacement packages is absolutely false. But I want to get to your phone calls. 1-800-684-3130. I think people are really fired up about this report that the FBI was not allowed. The DNC refused the FBI from analyzing their servers that they claim were hacked by the Russian government. Let's go to Catherine in New Jersey on line one. Catherine, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Happy New Year, and may it be a safe one for all of us.
Thank you. Happy New Year, Catherine.
Okay. Now, if the FBI did get to look at those emails and such, everything that they've been up to pertaining to the election would be on those from across the whole state. And also in possibly who's giving who money.
Yep.
And everything that's going on. And whether there's a connection to the Chicago disturbance at where Trump couldn't make his
right.
appearance.
Right. Yeah, and I think, Catherine, here's the problem, is that if the DNC chose and the FBI wasn't conducting a full actual like criminal investigation, so they weren't subpoenaing the server and forcing them to hand over the server, and the DNC made the decision that we would rather keep this information with a third party because they're a political party during election year, fine. But then you really can't make the claim that you lost the election because of the Russian government. I mean, and that's the claim that they're making, is that they lost because they ran a failed campaign, and that the Hillary Clinton's campaign staff had a poorly run campaign that misused the millions of dollars and resources she had. And instead of blaming themselves, they decided at the end, okay, now we'll just blame Russia for the hack. And that's why we'll say we lost. And by the way, that'll also discredit the incoming administration.
Catherine makes a great point here, Jordan. I mean, there was threat analysis going on here by multiple people. First of all, obviously, the FBI was doing a threat analysis, and they obviously determined that it was not a serious enough threat to issue a subpoena and do a real investigation. Otherwise, they wouldn't have had to just request those servers. They could have just taken them or demanded them. But I would say this, there was another threat analysis going on, and it was at the DNC. And apparently, what they decided was, maybe the threat from Bernie Sanders is more critical to us or more dangerous to us than the threat of whatever is happening from a foreign government. So therefore, we are not going to voluntarily turn our hardware over. So on both cases, Jordan, the threat analysis comes to essentially one point. There was no real investigation, and the DNC was not interested in cooperating with one, even if one had existed.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Also, we've got, you know, obviously the Israel issue coming up. We're going to jump back and forth. I think everybody's capable of doing that with these issues and listen to the broadcast. Keith is calling in from Oregon on line 5. Keith, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you. With the UN so corrupt and so against Israel and the United States, why do we even bother with UN at all?
Because we can control it ultimately. That the U.S. government, because we are a permanent member of the Security Council, there's only 5 of those in the whole world, 5 countries that get to be permanent members. We can unilaterally veto anything we want. So we can stand in the way. They can pass, the General Assembly at the UN can pass all those anti-Israel resolutions, as many as they want. They're non-binding. What happens at the Security Council is binding, and we're able to stand in the way when we think something is bad, but also generate international support when we are working on an issue. Now, I get the frustrations. I am at the point now, and I feel confident and comfortable with threatening funding to the United Nations from the U.S. government. We provide 22% of the general funding to the U.N. and billions of dollars more in extra funding to the United Nations. I'm not sure that they could, Than, operate without the U.S. government, and so that threat of the funding not being there is maybe one of the only ways to get the Security Council to even look at this issue again.
Yeah, I'm not sure they could operate financially, Jordan, but I'm absolutely sure that they could not operate with legitimacy without the United States. And listen, you said it exactly right. It's set up in a structure where the United States can control and stop things that are damaging if they have the moral courage to do so. Jordan, this administration has not had that moral courage. So the next administration has a challenge. If we are going to continue to participate in the United Nations, and I think we should, just like you outlined, it must restore the legitimacy of the United States' role at the United Nations. And because of what the current administration has done, Jordan, that is going to involve some very painful and hard work. They're going to have to threaten funding. They're going to have to threaten veto. And honestly, they're probably going to have to veto a lot of things until the UN comes back in line.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Michael calling from Washington State online, too. Michael, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, how you guys doing, man?
We're good. You're on the air.
Hey, listen, so the whole Israel issue, the whole UN and the whole FBI, let me tell you what is really happening. Obama has failed America. So for him, he's going out. The only legacy he's going to have is that I'm the first black president. That's all he's going to have to his name. So he's trying to do everything he can to make sure that Trump doesn't succeed. And everyone, people keep saying they don't like Trump and whatever it is. This is American we're talking about. Whether you like it or not, Trump will be the president of the United States. So it's either we come behind this guy and to make America great again, or we're going to watch Americans suffer just because we don't like a guy. And that's what Obama is trying to do.
Yeah, I tend to agree that you've got a president that is, again, he's a two-term president where domestically his one major domestic policy, legislation, not executive actions, those are all going to get overturned. all those rules and things that he did through the executive power can all be overturned on day one by Donald Trump. His only domestic really accomplishment is being repealed right now in front of him while he's not even out of office yet by the United States Congress. That's the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare. So that's his only domestic policy achievement. His foreign policy achievements, you know, other than damaging Israel, have been a disastrous Middle East, the rise of the persecution of religious minorities, including Christians, the rise of ISIS, a world where Russia has reasserted its power, the annexation of Crimea being a perfect example of not just in the Middle East, but in its own backyard as well. People really questioning the U.S. role in the world. And we have, again, an opportunity to change all of that. We've got a new president coming in, but they're going to do everything possible. And now then, there are reports about Gitmo as well moving around, that the president's not done trying to get more of those prisoners out as well.
Yeah, I think what you're seeing, Jordan, is a scramble for legacy. I mean, Obamacare is gone. The legacy now, I think he sees two options. One is some sort of formation of a Palestinian state, even if it's a long-term effort. And you're right, on Guantanamo Bay, he has failed to close Guantanamo Bay. But we reported this a couple of weeks ago. Notification was given that he's going to transfer up to 22 more detainees out of Guantanamo Bay. And the latest report, Jordan, is that the final 18 of those, four of them already happened, the last 18 of those may happen on Inauguration Day itself. Jordan, that's no accident.
No, it's not. And I'd say on, you know, foreign policy legacy, let's not forget the Iranian nuclear deal, where that hasn't stopped Iran from being aggressive in the world, like capturing U.S. soldiers in the Persian Gulf, or, for instance, being involved in the conflict in Syria, sending troops there, and Iraq, and Assyria, with the Shia militias operating as well. So we've got the number one state sponsor of terror in the world with a nuclear program that's moving forward because of the Obama administration. So foreign policy accomplishment, Iran with a nuclear program and a path to the a nuclear weapon, and a domestic accomplishment being repealed right now by Congress. That's Obamacare. When we come back from the break, we'll take more of your phone calls. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Ellen on Facebook writes, what about those prisoners at Gitmo? Is that actually happening? Yes. We don't know if it'll be a full release. About half of the remaining prisoners are scheduled to be released, sent back to other countries as well outside of the U.S. But there's reports that the Obama administration may try to release more. We'll keep you updated on that. We come back from the break, we'll take more of your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110, as well as your comments on Facebook and questions on Facebook and Periscope. Go to ACLJ.org. So much happening right now with the end of the Obama administration, the beginning of the Trump administration. Congress is back. Go to ACLJ.org. We'll talk to you very soon.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a very critical time for the state of Israel. In a parting shot, President Obama betrayed Israel by using the UN Security Council in a blatant attempt to abandon Israel, slash its borders, leave it defenseless, and force our greatest ally in the Middle East to make dangerous concessions to terrorists before negotiations even begin. Palestinian terrorists have launched over 300 attacks on Israelis. We must not force Israel into talks with terrorists. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're mobilizing our office in Jerusalem. We're preparing critical legal letters, documents, and filings at the UN, in Congress, and with the Obama administration. Sign on right now to our petition to defend Israel and stop forced negotiations with terrorists. Add your name right now. You can call 1-877-9255. 989-2255 or online, aclj.org.
All right, just for the folks joining us right now, we've got a few topics people are calling in about, and we're going to go all through the phone calls. Here's those topics. One, you've got a big move at the House of Representatives in support of Israel, rebuking the Obama administration and the UN Security Council's action against Israel. So that passed with bipartisan support, strong language from Speaker of the House Paul Ryan. That's good news for the incoming Trump administration. They're going to need bipartisan support to try and correct the wrongs that have been done to Israel, our most important ally, especially when you're talking about the fight against terror and in that region of the world. So they will need that bipartisan support. That's good news, and we'll look towards what the U.S. Senate will do as well. There's already support from both Chuck Schumer and Mitch McConnell there. So you got the leader of the Republicans, leader of the Democrats, the majority and the minority together. It could even be unanimous support. We'll watch that next week. We've also got reports that the DNC now, remember yesterday we said the FBI never analyzed the DNC server that was supposedly hacked by the Russian government, and that seemed absurd, and nor did any other law enforcement agencies in the U.S. actually analyze that. They were relying on a third-party report. Now we have found out through the FBI that the DNC refused to let the FBI analyze the server. So we're supposed to believe a claim based on a third-party analysis that the Russian government hacked our election process, influenced the election, maybe turned it for Donald Trump. That's what the Democrats like you to believe, except for they wouldn't let law enforcement officials look into it. And of course, we've also got the news now that part of the Obamacare repeal will include the defunding of Planned Parenthood. There's a couple more things, though, I did want to get to. We don't have to fully discuss it. We're going to get into it really in the beginning of next week. But then the confirmation battles for some very important spots begin next week in the United States Senate. For instance, Ben Carson's confirmation will be going forward. I know people are going to watch that later next week. But especially the Department of Justice and Senator Jeff Sessions, who has been nominated for Attorney General, his hearings are scheduled to begin on Tuesday for 2 days.
Yeah, I think those two are the ones that our listeners and viewers are going to be watching the most closely, Jordan. You're right. Ben Carson on Monday and then Jeff Sessions on Tuesday and Wednesday. We will have a whole team here following that, providing analysis and also helping the committee with their evaluation of Senator Sessions. I would just mention there are four other cabinet posts that are going to be happening on Wednesday. Betsy DeVos for Education, Elaine Chao for Transportation, John Kelly for Homeland Security, and then Rex Tillerson as the new Secretary of State. Also, Jordan, the CIA director, the new CIA director, Mike Pompeo. It's not a cabinet-level spot, but his hearing will be on Wednesday as well. So there's going to be a lot of activity, A lot of things happening at once. And by the way, it's very similar to the pace of President Obama.
Yeah, so this is, again, it's an action-packed week. And I think it'll be a good reminder. One, there's going to be a lot of partisanship, a lot of nasty things said about these nominees. And it kind of gets you ready for the next battle. In a way, you're now thinking, folks, for conservatives who are in charge now at the presidential level in the Senate and the House of Representatives to be thinking more about governing. Now you're putting people in these positions. So, yes, you're going to take fire. You're going to take the criticism that we used to be placing on those nominees from the Obama administration. It's now going to be kind of a reverse role. So it's a time to fight, but fight proactively. Let's get right to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Sean in Texas online. For Sean, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
How you doing today, guys? And God bless.
We're good, Sean. Thanks for calling.
I just had a question. I'm confused on how can a president who's going out do all of this against a president who's coming in?
Well, it's in bad taste and it's unusual, but the president retains, even when the lame duck president retains his commander-in-chief power. Importantly, I mean, the U.S. could come under attack. You need to keep our government functioning. So he's not going to pass a lot of legislation through. That's not happening. But when it comes to foreign policy decisions, that's where the president has the most, the broadest ability to act. All of the funding, Than, as you say regularly, all the funding for our foreign policy is already approved. The dollars are there. The money is in the coffers of the State Department. And they can then make those decisions. The president's able to do that. And so he retains a lot of power when it comes to foreign policy and also regulatory power. This is a president who has not been afraid at all of issuing new regulations.
And honestly, Jordan, there's a lot of wisdom in that. I mean, the Article II powers that give the commander-in-chief a lot of latitude in foreign policy. It allows the United States to speak with one voice. It also allows them to direct our military with a clear voice. But listen, there is a way for Congress to restrain them. You've talked about it many times. It's called the dollars. And I think the resolution that we saw out of the House, hope to see out of the Senate next week, will be a clear indication that if the outgoing president continues to undermine the incoming president and his ability to craft a foreign policy, then the Article I branch, Congress, is going to stand with the new president in fighting back.
All right, back to the phones we go. Let's go to Mike calling in from Pennsylvania on line six. Mike, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Thanks. Thank you for your hard work. Is it possible that the DNC could be holding back the servers to scrub them clean of all the incriminating stuff that may have gone on with the Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders stuff?
It looks like, Mike, that's what happened, is that the initial hack, the major intrusion that we are supposed to believe the Russians conducted, the Russian government conducted, that's what the DNC is claiming, and probably the Obama administration's report is claiming that comes out next week, that they fixed that major intrusion, and then they said, oh, there's no need anymore to look at our servers. We've handled it, if you will, the compromise situation. That's what it looks like, Mike, is they were trying to prevent anybody from having access to their servers. By the way, the FBI could have analyzed this without releasing their private emails. They were really looking at the tech side to see how this started. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Martin in Idaho on line three.
Hello.
Hi, Martin. You're on the air.
Yes, it's Iowa, but that's okay. Thanks for all the good work you do.
Thanks, Martin.
I am really concerned about Obamacare. We've heard for 6 years that they were going to repeal every word of it, and now I hear there's bits and pieces that they want to keep, and it might take up to a year before they get it repealed. Well, and I think if they do that, they will lose the Senate.
Well, I think a year would be before the next election cycle. Remember, there's not another election cycle till 2018. So, Than, what are you hearing about that? I think that there's confusion about how long people will be able to keep the plans they got through Obamacare versus keeping, and of course, the parts that people like. That's not to say that it's going to stay in place, but that the new replacement will include some of those provisions, keeping younger people on, plans, pre-existing conditions. Those kind of issues being included in the replacement does not mean that they're not fully repealing the law.
Yeah, that's right. Look, the 2017 plans, Jordan, are already in place. I mean, so those are going to – you're not going to be able to take those away. The 2018 plans are being negotiated as we speak and will likely be in place before the repeal package moves through. But listen, so even if the transition period says we're not going to pull those plans away from you, you can keep them if you want them, and the full repeal would actually happen at the end of 2018, say – it still would provide relief immediately, Jordan, because then if you have one of those plans that you can't afford, it would allow you to then go and buy a non-compliant plan. So even if the full removal of the exchanges takes a couple years, the relief would still come immediately.
Let me, Marcus, I'm going to let you jump in. We only have 50 seconds left from California, but an important question about the defunding of Planned Parenthood. You're on the air, Marcus.
What bugs me is that my taxpayer money goes to the government, and the government goes, the Democrat Party, which I don't want, goes and gives that money to the Planned Parenthood, and then they go and turn around and give that money to Planned Parenthood.
They've got a very complicated scheme going on at Planned Parenthood to keep these funds supposedly separate. I don't want to buy it, but I think the easiest way to fix this is to just completely defund them. They're freaking out right now at Planned Parenthood, and I think that's a good thing, and it's going to be part of the repeal efforts. We'll talk about it more next week on Jay Sekulow Live. Thanks for joining us. Go to ACLJ.org. Have a great weekend.
This is a very critical time for the state of Israel. In a parting shot, President Obama betrayed Israel by using the UN Security Council in a blatant attempt to abandon Israel. Sign on right now to our petition to defend Israel and stop forced negotiations with terrorists. Add your name right now. You can call 1-877-989-2255 or online aclj.org.